We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
JR to bring us back in here to the 4 o'clock hour.
I like these guys.
So I set my bar real. A little horn action here. Point that out. Victoria Kapik is going to be with me a little bit later this hour. She is the daybreak reporter and the host of Good Morning Arkansas. So she'll just be waking up from a nap, Dave. It's an interesting
case. I assume so, yeah. She sent me a message back at 5:15 this morning, so I thought she was in the middle of her day, and I was not even awake yet.
Well, so I sent you this last night. It's interesting. Al Sharpton and Benjamin Crump, race baiters in chief, are taking up the case of a white teenager killed by cops. She is now at KATV in Little Rock. We'll explain that story. Also, I thought this was funny because Dave, you know my friend Rick, who's out in Vegas. He splits his time in Pasadena. Sue, we've had him on the show recently, and he said this whole thing with Gavin Newsom. So Gavin Newsom cannot identify himself as a Democrat on the recall ballot because he screwed up.
So, that's why he can't do it.
His lawyer is accepting responsibility. We're going to get into it. Brian Ping, who is at KNX Radio in Los Angeles, is going to join us. But here's my text last night. I'm over here where the earth is burning, and the Democratic governor who signed a law that a governor in a recall election has 7 days to state his political party affiliation. He himself misses the deadline, then sues his self-appointed Secretary of State, only to lose the suit, which has testimony from his conservative, Republican, transgender reality TV personality opponent accurately defending the law. The governor is now trying to circumvent. That's the effed world going on right now. And he said at this point, Caitlyn effing Jenner is starting to make sense. That's how crazy things are in California.
So he missed the deadline. That's the whole reason that
he signed the law that said you had to do this within 7 days, and he screwed up. And then
his own law.
Well, I mean, it was the legislature,
right.
But he signed the law. Yeah. He didn't abide by the law, and then he sued to get around the law, and it's just hilarious. I mean, that really does, I think, capture California in a bit of a nutshell, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
All right, Sue's News is coming up, but I have to ask you about the snoo. It's not Snooze News, it's Sue's News. Dave, do you know what a snoo is? You of all people in this room should know, and maybe
I
should
too. It sounds like someone from Dr. Seuss.
It is not. Do you know what a snoo is?
No.
Sue? All right.
Will you spell snoo for me, please?
Well, this is not the spelling bee. That was last week.
What is
week,
the country of origin?
Yeah, right. S-N-O-O. Dave, don't look it up. He's cheating right now.
Well, he was just, yes.
Now you can look it up. This was a story in the Washington Post today. It said 7 weeks after Jessica Scalia gave birth to her son James, the situation was extremely common and completely dire. Her son was not sleeping, which meant she and her husband weren't either. Dave and I have been there in the past 5 years. Dave's got a couple of five-year-olds and a three-year-old. Is that right? Did I get that
right? Two-year-old,
close. Close. And then I have a six-year-old. So Jessica Scalia says, I was desperate. I was willing to try anything. So at an ungodly hour, on one particularly bad night, she made an impulse decision to rent a snoo. A snoo is a $1,500 robotic bassinet that, according to the story, automatically soothes. What the hell is wrong with me? Soothes. That's the first time I've seen that word.
It's very soothing.
Soothes fussy babies with motion and white noise. I always tried whiskey and just a little bit of Ambien. That seemed
good
to work pretty
grief.
Well. No,
that works.
This is not a new thing. My brother and sister-in-law had one for Sophie when she was a baby, and she's 20 now. And it was kind of awesome.
And she still uses a snoo.
But is it the same thing?
I don't know. Maybe it's the modern version. I don't remember them saying to me, put her in the snoo.
Well, I don't think it was. So they use artificial intelligence and sensors, and they listen for babies' cries. They rock them back to sleep. She thought that it was overhyped. You know, you hear about these things. The company behind the snoo, which is called Happiest Baby, said it could give parents an extra 2 hours of sleep each night. She thought, well, that's fantasy, right? So,
and 2 hours is a lot when you're the new parents.
I'd say 45 minutes is a lot when you're new parents. She lives in Nashville. She said, before I had a baby, I was like, this is ridiculous. Who needs to spend this much money on a bassinet, especially when there are so many affordable options? By the end of the first week with snoo, Jessica had become a believer.
Uh-huh.
James, who had previously never slept for more than an hour and a half at a time, could sleep for 4 hours at a time.
Uh-huh.
So then you have another woman in Minnesota, Alicia House, 35, newborn. Harton was his name. And they asked her, how was Harton sleeping? You know, almost like they know in their mind, oh, you're not sleeping and this must really be tough. That's how it is with kids. It's almost like they know, right? So she gets a snoo a few days after he's born. And everything's fine. So it is working
for
people. And they say few other technological advancements have inspired the same level of reverence among parents, bordering on religious devotion as the snoo. Harvey Karp invented it. Pediatrician, the snoo automates the principles that Karp taught in his book, The Happiest Baby on the Block, that babies can be prompted to sleep with stimuli that mimic the conditions of the womb, including swaddling and swinging. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, when my son who's 24 was first born, I'm living in Arnold and doing late night feedings in the middle of the night while mom is sleeping after she had, pumped the breast milk. And I remember one night I went on the highway trying to get Evan to sleep because I took him in the car seat in the back of the car. Driving would soothe him.
Well,
and
sure.
And I think the theory was his mom was driving to work every day. She was on the road a lot. In the car, there was a calming nature. I think this has worked with other kids. So they also say, look, for some parents, this has become a vehicle for judgment, anxiety, and privilege. The fancy bassinet has a way of separating even well-to-do parents into snooze and snoo not. So I don't know if this thing's been around for 20 years.
It hasn't.
Did you get the price tag?
Yeah, it's $1,495. Yeah. Here's the thing. I looked it up. It was invented in 2016, but I'm telling you my brother and sister-in-law had a snoo predecessor that was probably equally as expensive that they swore by. And it was a bassinet that moved in a certain way. And it had the same magic. They would not go anywhere without it.
I had a bassinet that was right next to the bed when Alexa was very, very much an infant. And it would sort of swing her back and forth. And there's a couple of those things that swing the kids. It doesn't always work, I'll tell you that right now.
This looks like something that belongs in like a 1970s living room with the way it looks.
Yeah, kind
of. It's kind of funky looking.
But if it works,
it might just be worth that $1,500 price tag.
Well, if I would have known about the snoo, I probably would have been tempted a few years ago, but I got by it. It was that first 8 months, and after you can get by that. And I hate it when the parents say, oh, my kid was sleeping after like 4 weeks.
Well, good for you.
Screw you. I don't want to hear that at all. Anyway, look up the snoo, and maybe it's for you.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Oh, that's good. I've gone down the snoo rabbit hole. Let me climb out.
Right.
I don't even have an infant. I don't know why I'm in this rabbit hole.
Did you see the snoo bear?
Yes!
$60 for a snoo bear.
A little pricey, but, you know, it matches the decor.
It does.
I'm just saying. All right, let's see. In Sue's News today, I wanted to start with this fact. People are apparently cleaning their teeth with magic erasers, and dentists are horrified.
That's a bad idea.
I love that.
I love those things.
I actually give those things to my daughter because she loves to help clean up, and, you know, they're really good.
They're amazing.
Yes, yeah. They're wonderful at cleaning stains off of things that aren't your teeth.
Never tried it on my teeth, though.
Okay, well, if it helps you, TikTok people have recommended it. That's how you know it's no good. Well, some of this stuff on TikTok isn't that bad. But since they have recommended it, dentists say, no, 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 no. please stop doing that.
Bad idea.
That's really, really not a good plan.
I can't imagine like the sorts of chemicals and things that are in
it. Aren't they scratchy?
Right.
Like, wouldn't that get the enamel off your teeth? So dentists say, please don't take dental cleaning advice from TikTok.
Probably a good rule.
It's the same people that put garlic up their nose to clear the sinuses.
Well, that's a whole other problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, do I have the theme?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let us hear a little music, so sorry. It's a sad occasion, but...
That's okay. I remember this show.
I do, too.
Gosh. Great show.
Loved
Harry Anderson, right?
Yeah.
Night Court. What am I thinking? Mid-80s?
I think that's right.
I'll look it up.
Charlie Robinson, who played the clerk Mac Robinson on Night Court, passed away. And he was... I just watched that show and thought he must have been the nicest man. He was 75... and that's what he's most known for. He did other films. He did The House Bunny, which sadly I did see in the theater. Set It Off, Antoine Fisher, Jackson, Even Money. But I always thought he looked really nice. So RIP to Mac Robinson from Night Court.
I'm trying to look up Night Court, but whatever reason, IMDb is not.
It's not working for you
right now.
By the way, it's Cedric the Entertainer who has been tapped to host the Emmys this year.
Really?
Yep. Seti Bear.
We got a little St. Louis connection. It was 84 to 92, believe it or not. Night
84
Court.
To 92.
84
yeah.
to
that's a long,
92.
That's a long sitcom. Yeah.
Now, I remember Richard Mould died, didn't he?
I think he did.
What about Larroquette?
He's still around.
He's still alive.
He's still alive?
Remember that? He had another sitcom after that, says Sue, not looking this up on IMDb. Okay, help.
Mark, I think you killed Richard Mould.
Is he still alive, too?
Is he?
Yeah, he's 78, and he's 6'8".
Yeah,
oh, yeah, big guy. Well, so who was it?
Skip Weber's size.
Did Harry Anderson die? Is that it?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, well, somebody... Okay, I can't read and do it.
Harry Anderson died 3 years ago, 2018.
Why, Dave? What happened to him? I can't remember. Mm. I just remember thinking that's so sad. He got me to listen to The Velvet Fog, Mel Torme. I now love Mel Torme based on that show.
Wow, he had several strokes after a bout of influenza.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm not sure why I asked you that. That was sad. All right, Cedric the Entertainer will host the Emmys. It's going to be on CBS. It will be September the 19th. I assume his show is on CBS, and that's why they're having him do that. Doesn't he have it's called The Neighborhood or something?
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to do a limited in-person audience. I don't really watch the Emmys, but I always like hearing who won the next day.
They're doing a limited in-person audience. They can't plan for this when we're 6 months out to have people in the room. They're already going to make that decision?
Yeah.
That seems goofy.
Go figure. The FCC has given Amazon permission to create a device that monitors people's sleep. Last month, Amazon requested permission to market non-mobile devices that use radar sensors that would operate on higher power levels than currently allowed. So it's a touchless device. We already have these things on like an Apple Watch or a Fitbit, but they had to apply because it uses more. And apparently they'd already done it for Google and the Pixel phone. So they said, okay, but whenever Amazon does anything and the FCC needs to approve it, it just gets a ton of attention.
Yeah, people will buy it.
You know, I wonder how accurate. Do you have an Apple Watch, Mark? Do you?
Well, I just got one about 5-6 weeks ago.
Does it monitor your sleep? Can you tell?
I haven't worn it at night to have that.
I haven't either.
They can do it.
It can.
I'm just still trying to get to know it a little bit, and I've mocked them for a while, and then at the AT&T store when I was getting a new phone, I was investigating options. They said, look, if you buy this Apple Watch, you'll get a free SE, and my wife... She had had an Apple Watch in the past, so we bought one for her, and then I got the SE. But I'll tell you what, I told you, Sue, if for no other reason, there was a commercial last night during the Home Run Derby with this guy that was in the middle of a farm field, if I remember correctly. It was a bunch of hay, and as a farmer, he's walking from his truck, and he's just walking toward this big pile of hay, if I remember correctly. And all of a sudden, he does this. Say,
that's you tapping the phone.
It's this button. You can ping if you lose your iPhone. And I've done this several times. Where is my iPhone?
My Android watch has done that for years.
Well, so I didn't know that. Okay, I've never had that technology. Okay.
That's my favorite part of the watch, honestly.
It is.
I feel like an old man saying that, but I lose my phone so much.
I'm just telling you right now, I'd wear the damn thing if it did nothing else. Yeah, I don't even care if it tells time. If it does that for me, I'm keeping it.
I've used it twice today. I'm just saying.
Just to find your phone?
Yes, to find my phone. And it's not Apple. You can get it on the Vivo. I'm just saying. Okay, Minnesota authorities have started asking, I put asking slash begging people with aquariums in Minnesota to stop dumping their goldfish into local waterways.
I love this.
They get really huge. Now, and they had a picture.
Goldfish.
I didn't either, Dave. It was probably this big of a goldfish, and that's what, eight? It might be even a foot long.
Dave, look at this.
I always
They're like the size of
my lord. It's insane. It's completely insane.
I always thought they lived to like 8 weeks, and then you flush them down the toilet, and that's
know,
it.
I know.
And they're tiny.
Here's the interesting thing. Goldfish are members of the carp family.
Yeah.
They can easily reproduce and survive through low levels of oxygen during Minnesota winters. And that's how they've come to get this huge. In November, one county in Minnesota pulled as many as 50,000 goldfish from local waters. And they say they get so big, they wreak havoc on the indigenous species.
Yeah, it's an invasive species. And that's why people keep them in koi ponds and
that
stuff like that.
That is nuts. Right.
Yeah, there's a place called Carp Solutions, and that's what they do. Goldfish, did you know? Did you know, Sue, they can live to a ripe old age of, you want to guess here?
Yeah, okay. Oh, ooh. 2 years?
25 years.
Whoa!
Weigh as much.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
25 years, weigh as much as 4 pounds, measure well over a foot long. They're also surprisingly resilient, Sue. They can survive in severe conditions. That's what you just said, right? The winter weathers and bodies of water, living for months without oxygen.
Okay, then how come they never live in anybody's tank in the house for any more
That's
than,
a great question.
How come in someone's tank they end up floating
yeah.
at the top
well,
of it?
Like, in 2 days.
Probably because kids put their hands in there and touch the fish and probably just contaminates it.
Wow. I mean, I wonder if anybody in their house has actually had one get that huge.
Well, I will just say this. We've had goldfish for several years. We finally got rid of them, thank God, because my wife kept trying to make this work. And we kept putting them in Alexa's room in this tank, and they would get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it would be a problem. They would be too big. So we'd take them back to Pet Supplies Plus. Now, when I say too big, they're from about, maybe 2 inches into...
Oh, but bigger.
3 inches, yeah, or maybe 1 inch into 3 inches. They
so
get big.
So you take them back to the pet store, and the pet store throws them in the lake, and then this is what happens.
Let me.
Cycle continues.
Maybe the last time, let's see what happened the last time. Maybe Becky told me, let's take it back to the pet store. I didn't dump it in a river, I'll tell you that, or a body of water. May have been flushed, though. Or is that the same?
I think it's kind of the same, isn't it?
If they can go without oxygen, they get flushed down that toilet, yeah, they're going to probably live.
Jeez. And on a final note, the Burger King in Sunset Hills, have you been by it? Well, I haven't been in a while, but it's reopened this week. Burger King is releasing a brand new style of restaurant. And this is one of the first in the country, and it's in Sunset Hills. They call it the Pavilion style. And they
put it's in Sunset Hills. Of course it is.
Hills is that snooty.
What,
but I know what
you're
saying.
You're going to put that one down in Arnold, are you?
This is the new look of Burger King. So eventually it will be everywhere. But if you want a Whopper with cheese and see the new style, it's right there
in Sunset Hills.
Oh, that's a good detail to bring up,
Mark. It's
got to be
somewhere in Lindbergh and 44, right?
I think it's actually close to Lindbergh and Watson, I think.
Yeah, right around there, because that's where there are fast food places.
Where is Burger King and Sunset Hills? And that's it for Sue's News.
So I'm going to throw this one in here just because we're talking about food this afternoon, and it is Taco Tuesday. Did you know it's Taco Tuesday
this
afternoon? No, I love Taco Tuesdays.
Well, in honor of Taco Tuesday, McCormick and Company, they do the taco seasonings and the flavors. They have announced a new 4-month contract position, which pays $100,000, like $25,000 per month, to be the taco czar, the director.
I found my dream job.
There you go. It's the director of taco relations. Short-term stint comes with a good paycheck, though. You have to be 21 years of age, a U.S. resident. That seems rather discriminatory. Be able to sign a contract by the end of August and work up to 20 hours a week from September 21st to December of 2021 to December of 2021. The incumbent should have a pretty hearty appetite as well, addressing hard-hitting questions like, which are better, soft or hard-shell tacos, according to the release. There you go. If you'd like to apply for the job, I think you have to go to the McCormick website, something along those lines.
That's this is a good deal.
Yeah, well, it's a publicity stunt, and now you have all these idiots all around the country who do radio giving them a free ad here on
It Worked
97.1 FM Talk.
And I'm on Team Hard Taco, by the way.
Yeah, you know what, Dave? I'm kind of with you on that.
I'm on Team Hard Taco, too, but you know what I did for years and didn't realize I was making this mistake is you kind of have to put those things in the oven to make them crispy,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. And just for a few minutes. Right. That's all it takes.
But you take them out of the bag, they might not be too crispy. So just remember that. A little Taco Tuesday advice here from Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk. So I set my bar real low. When I get up off this ground. Oh, I love this story from California where Gavin Newsom will not be able to identify himself as a Democrat on the ballot during the recall because he screwed up. I guess his lawyer is taking the hit, but it's a comical story, as they often are from California. Brian Ping is a good friend of ours from here in St. Louis. He's an anchor reporter at KNX Radio in Los Angeles, going to join us here in just a bit. I found this story yesterday. Dave, you actually sent it to me, Dave Klein, last night, and I was interested. It piqued my interest because it's very unusual. Al Sharpton and Ben Crump are taking up their first case involving a white person who was killed after being shot during a police encounter. I thought we'd find out a little bit more. Victoria Capek is the Daybreak reporter for KATV in Little Rock. She's the host of Good Morning Arkansas. And Victoria, you probably should be taking a nap right around now, so I apologize if we're interrupting that.
You know, this is usually my nap time, but I can make exceptions every other day. You know, I just decided to be nice for you guys for this one.
Well, I appreciate it. So it piqued my interest for sure. It's unusual. So what's going on here? What is this case? Was there something going on today? This is a 17-year-old kid named Hunter Britton.
Hunter Britton. Yeah. So it definitely has been a case that sparked the interest of people really worldwide. And I think even more so because the people who've gotten involved, it kind of transcends race, so to speak. So it'll be 3 weeks tomorrow when the 17-year-old Hunter, he was supposedly working on his truck overnight at some location just outside of Little Rock. And around 3 a.m., we have a Lonoke County sergeant named Michael Davis who pulls up. The truck starts rolling backwards, and the 17-year-old Hunter gets out of the car. He uses an oil jug to try and stop the car from moving. And when he does that, the passenger in the truck, which is, I guess, one of Hunter's friends, his name is Jordan King, said Michael Davis went ahead and shot Hunter. And Hunter died that morning at the hospital. Now, it took literally no time at all, sparking protests that were huge by and large. I mean, in person, over social media. And I think word getting out over social media about the officer involvement and this being an officer-involved shooting with a kid who was supposedly unarmed, that's what got people involved, right? So we have Ben Crump, you mentioned him. So for those of you who might not know, Benjamin Crump and Devin Jacob, they are the lawyers who represented George Floyd and George Floyd's family. And the family says that they actually reached out to the Britton family about representing them on this case. They decided to go for it, and I think that kind of blew things up even more. Al Sharpton, civil rights activist, heard of it over social media as well, and they actually invited Sharpton to come eulogize Britton at his memorial service. So, I mean, the case just keeps growing and growing, and it's really interesting because all the while it's still under investigation by state police.
Victoria, is there any explanation that offers an alternative version of what happened? So the car wouldn't shift into park. Britton steps out of the vehicle, and you mentioned this bright blue plastic bottle of antifreeze, and I guess he's carrying that. Is the theory that he was shot when he was carrying that, or that the officer thought that was another object, or do we just simply not know that at this point?
So from my understanding, we just don't know, right? So we have really kind of contrasting stories from Sergeant Michael Davis. His lawyer actually has started speaking out over the past couple of days. And then, of course, I mentioned the witness earlier, Jordan King, the 16-year-old who was in the seat. We're getting different stories about there being even any communication between Sergeant Davis and Hunter Britton before the shooting happened. And I think that's what's making this such a difficult case by and large, is because we have no body camera footage to show what happened. And we have, you know, contrasting stories from both parties.
Why is there no body camera? Were there no body cameras, or was it just not on?
Right. So Lone Oak County, they do actually have body cameras, and it is a part of the department's policy to have them turned on with any interaction with the public. But according to the investigation that they did with the body camera so far, Sergeant Davis actually did not turn his body camera on until after the interaction with the shooting. So that was one of the major problems, and that's what ultimately led to him getting fired from the force.
That's interesting. So if it seems that the effort by Mr. Crump and Al Sharpton is to push the George Floyd Act, which contains a provision requiring body cameras and calls on the feds to activate them when responding to calls or initiating a stop. I happen to be a fan of body cams. I think that police would be better off if all this stuff was on, you know, on camera, and then they can show people what really happened. But in this case, I wish they did have some body camera footage because it would answer some questions, wouldn't it?
I absolutely agree. Yeah, so the family is actually working. In Arkansas currently, it is not law of our police departments to have body cameras. You know, they claim expenses being a big issue, but the family is trying to pass something they're calling Hunter's Law, which would require all police in the state to have to wear body cameras and make sure they're turned on as a part of their policy. And they have been getting support on that law from Crump, Sharpton, and even members of the Lone Oak County Sheriff's Department, which was the, you know, department that ended up taking his life ultimately.
All right, so I'm guessing there are calls to arrest the officer, charge the officer. What's going on with that?
Yep, so that's been the most recent thing we've been working on. So something we've been hearing from in the last couple of days is his defense attorney. He's been speaking out, and what we actually found out within the last 24 hours is there is going to be a special prosecutor on this case. We have Judiciary Jeff Phillips in Arkansas is going to be the one ultimately deciding the fate of Sergeant Davis. But that is just something we don't know yet. That's the latest that we have up in the air.
All right. Well, Victoria Kabik, thank you so much for all the details. It's interesting because I know this has gotten a lot of attention in your neck of the woods. It's gotten some, I guess, international attention. But I have not heard about this. I did not hear about this case until last night. So it kind of caught me off guard. I'm guessing a lot of my listeners were not familiar. So I thought we'd fill them in this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys take care. It'll definitely be interesting to see what comes of everything.
Absolutely. All right. Take care. Victoria Kipik, who is down in Arkansas, Little Rock at KATV. I have someone coming up. I think this sort of ties in after the top of the hour. There was a Twitter string that went viral a couple of days ago. It was a college professor named Wilford Riley. And he said, there's a lot of plain truths, which everyone pretty much agrees with, but we can't say it. You know, we can't say these things out loud. And one of his points was, while police brutality is very bad, something like the 90% majority of people shot by cops are violent, repeat felons, usually struggling with the officer, which is true. I'd say it's probably even higher than 90%. It's interesting, though, because in this particular situation, there's politics at play. Crump and Al Sharpton know that there's an opportunity here because seemingly there's no information that can change the narrative of this. There's no other video footage, unless the cop comes forward and changes the story. It seems like this is just one of those terrible, terrible, tragic mistakes. And it's not Chief Fitch, when he comes on, a lot of times talking about some of these things in relation to some of the police shootings, a lot of times it's what they call lawful but awful. So it's within the statute. The police have the ability, depending on state and local statutes, to handle potential offenders that way. And sometimes it ends really, really bad. In this particular case, it didn't seem like there was any reason to fire your weapon, especially because, and I don't know if Victoria mentioned this, but there were a lot of indications from the other kid that was in the car that the officer didn't say, stop, I'll shoot, police, nothing along those lines. But, you know, they still have this recall thing going on in California with Gavin Newsom, who is a Democrat, but he cannot identify himself as a Democrat on the recall ballot in September because he screwed up. I just think this is very funny. I have to reread this text from my friend who splits time between Pasadena, California, and Las Vegas. He says, I'm over here where the earth is burning and the Democratic governor who signed a law that a governor in a recall election has 7 days to state his political party affiliation himself misses the deadline, then sues his self-appointed secretary of state only to lose the suit, which has testimony from his conservative Republican transgender reality TV personality opponent accurately defending the law the governor is now trying to circumvent. That's the F world going on. And he even said Caitlyn Jenner is starting to make sense. So Brian Ping is an anchor reporter at KNX in Los Angeles. He's a St. Louis guy. We tap into him on the left coast from time to time. Ping, how are you this afternoon, Brian?
Doing great, Mark. Thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Did that text sort of sum it up in a non-news anchor sort of way?
Oh, yeah, just another day out here, and I'm pretty sure I read something almost to that very same effect with the effect intended last night. So, yeah, pretty par for the course here.
So what happened? He was supposed to change or I guess, declare his party. What are the implications of this?
Okay, so this dates all the way back to February of last year. You know, because ever since he was elected, there's been, a partisan anger, the fact that he's in office, and of course it accelerated with the pandemic.
Right.
But among some of these first early efforts, he had to respond by filing his official information. Again, this was, February 2020, pre-pandemic, and, he files his name, but he just doesn't bother to put the D for Democrat next to it, thinking it will come to nothing. Well, lo and behold, all these months later, more than a year, here we are. He realizes that he can't do it. And as you mentioned, the Secretary of State doesn't allow him to make the late change. He sues. He sues his own elections chief, who he appointed. And the judge said no. So that's where we are.
So it's hard for me to believe, just looking at this situation from afar. Gavin Newsom seems to be a guy that even folks here in Missouri who follow politics, they know he's a Democrat. They know who he is. I'm expecting people in California know that as well.
Oh, absolutely. And this whole thing is, it's mostly a partisan proceeding. And that's, of course, Newsom's criticism. This is driven by the right wing, Trump supporters, Republicans. So yeah, anyone in California who is going to be motivated to turn out to an off-year special election in September, they're going to be aware of who he is. If they're
right.
motivated enough to come to the polls and kick him out of office, they know that he is a Democrat. And a lot of people who want to kick him out aren't necessarily affiliated. Maybe there are some Democrats who are, but there is merit to thinking that this is largely a partisan effort to drive him out. But bottom line is, I really don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think people were, I remember talking to you about this and some other folks I know in California, that maybe there was a lot of momentum for this, certainly during the lockdowns, what was happening over the winter, but that has somehow, or at least somewhat died out. I haven't seen any polling on this recently. What have you? I'm guessing you have.
There's not a whole heck of a lot of polling. I mean, you mentioned Caitlyn Jenner, and she said that, I'm leading the Republican polls. Well, we haven't really seen much to that effect. Anyone can just say anything. And as far as Newsom goes, what he's trying to do is he's trying to tack to the center ever since these efforts have really gotten into full gear, because he's winded back a lot of the restrictions, even though cases are starting to be on the rise once again. He's, handing out free money to people who are vaccinated. I know that's not unique to him or to California, but making a large deal of it. And there's not really much appetite to bring back restrictions despite rising caseloads. And you don't really hear the governor say a whole heck of a lot about that. One thing that could imperil him to a degree, I don't think enough to get him out of office, is a couple of other situations. First of all, running out of juice. And we're having to call these what are called flex alerts, meaning we've got to conserve power on these hot days. And I think a lot of people are getting fed up, because this has been happening a couple of years lately as our weather has gotten hot and there have been problems with the power grid. And I think a lot of people suspect there are things going on that they're not, being made aware of. This is what got Gray Davis largely kicked out of office in 2003. A lot of it had to do with, Enron and the issues with the power supply back then. So if we have a long, hot summer, once September 14th rolls around, there could be a lot of negative feelings there.
So, I was going to ask you, you kind of covered some of the COVID questions that I had. We've been feeling like normal for more than 2 months here, certainly since the beginning of May, at the very latest, mid-May. Do things feel pretty normal out there in Los Angeles now?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we still mention the rise in cases, but it's not as much of a public health issue as it was before. It is, but not to the degree where, if this keeps happening, we're going to impose all these restrictions because it's all we can do. Well, that's not the case anymore because, we've got the vaccine. At this point, a lot of people recognize, you sort of take matters into your own hands if you don't get the shot. We recommend that you wear masks indoors even if you're vaccinated. That's according to LA County public health officials, but you don't have to. That's kind of the difference between now and then. And I'm going into grocery stores and I'm seeing a lot of people putting masks back on because I think a lot of people are conscious about that. I don't know the psychology behind it. I suppose, if I'm the only person walking around my grocery store without a mask. I don't want to be that guy. So I think there's a little bit of that psychology, once it reaches a critical mass of people wearing the mask. So I think that's the one thing that's keeping us from being
By the way, that's kind of the opposite of what we experience here in Missouri, where you go into the store, and if you think about putting a mask on, people say, well, I don't want to be that guy that has the mask on. It's almost opposite here, Brian.
Yeah.
I tell you.
But, everything is pretty much back open. So you can, if there's things you want to do, you can go do it. And I think for a lot of people, that is the big difference. And I think once schools get back going in August and into September as well, there's going to be masks on for the kids. But I think we're going to finally get back into that normal rhythm.
Brian Ping, Canex in Los Angeles, going to make it home this summer or not?
I was back there not too long ago.
Thank you for dropping in. I appreciate that.
Just like I appreciate all the times that you come out for your press junket.
I know. It gets tough.
That doesn't happen.
Get tough with family. I give you a break, but we'd love to see you in person in the studio. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
We'll make it happen. Thanks, Mark. Every second feel a change within. They'll show you 10
million ways to doubt. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.